Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Whether it be camping, hiking, or anything else in the outdoors, I can tell you I truly love doing it. And luckily, I've never really had much of a horror story happen myself. Except for that one time that I got lost and I found this little shack in the swamp, and then suddenly this green guy came out and started yelling at me, and then there was this donkey that started talking, and I was like, what the... Anyways, if you have a story that you would like to share in a future episode, be sure to submit yours at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp, stories like yours that help keep this show going on a daily basis. Now, without further ado, be sure to hit that like button, subscribe if you're new, and get ready for these creepy and downright strange camping and hiking horror stories that'll freak you out tonight. The Creature in the North Woods by Anonymous. I've had this story on my mind for a long time. I've always been a fan of the supernatural and cryptid stuff, but I've never really had any standout experiences. I've lived in the northern Midwest my entire life, and I've come to appreciate the local lore that comes with it. This is the story of my first real cryptid encounter. It's a long one, but I hope you enjoy it. Now, at the time of this story, I worked at a camp for a few summers in my late teens. The camp was massive, with only about 1/5 of it equipped for hospitality, dining hall, cabin, showers, houses, etc. And the wilderness had about 7 lakes on it, all connected by small rivers. However, this camp was particularly eerie because it was built around the Potawatomi burial ground. I won't really get into the legend surrounding the burial grounds, but overall, this place checked all the boxes for a B-list horror movie. Now, my job at the camp was a catch-all. I was a program director, lifeguard, cook, and gift shop manager. If they needed a role filled, I was more than likely the one doing it. It kept me busy, and I had many long days. I would close the gift shop at about 7 each night and head upstairs to the kitchen. I could walk back to my cabin if I wanted, but the cook hated the dark. Babyface crying hated the dark. So I'd help him with the dishes, cut fruit for breakfast, and then walk him to his cabin. I have one rule though, no flashlights. I hate that you can only see well in the woods if you have a small focused beam of light. I hate the idea of people or animals sneaking up on us, so every night in the moonlight I walk with him to his cabin and then walk to the public road to mine. My ulterior motive for taking the public road was, well, I'm also a smoker, and we have to be good role models for the kids, so no smoking in camp. But they can't tell you what to do on the public property. My cabin was right at the edge of the hospitable portion of the land. Miles of marshlands and forests sat behind my cabin, and fortunately, or I guess maybe in this case unfortunately, I had the cabin to myself. But the weird thing was that every night that I would be smoking and walking the public road, I would hear what sounded like screaming off in the woods. It sounded like a woman was being murdered. I brushed it off the first night. There's a public access lake, maybe people were getting rowdy, who knows. Sound carries, etc., etc. It could be a prank, could be a fox, could be an owl. It's the woods, you know? But it kept happening every single night as soon as I stepped onto that road. I decided not to let it bother me. I had to be up early every day. There is no sense in chasing noises in the dark. I would get to my cabin, spread some tobacco for the land, and sleep soundly every night. Well, the end of summer came around. It was always bittersweet, you know? You eat 3 meals a day with the same people for 3 months, and they grow on you. One goodbye tradition we kept up over the years was the final new moon of the camp season, and the ranger would take the staff for a spirit walk. It was always good fun. He'd share the legends of the land with the new staff and try to shake them up. We would hike through the back of the camp and around the marshes and lakes and see what kind of spooky things we could stir up. We met at the only street light out on the public road at night, but the ranger slung his rifle over his shoulder that year. We ran into a cougar the year before, and 2 wolves lived in the back of the property, so I didn't really think too much of it. The rules are simple. No flashlights, no jingling keys, no running. If you run, we might not find you. Now these rules were half to scare people and halfway true because safety is important. The woods were thick and the marshes were dangerous. Everything went smoothly until we reached a river crossing near the public road. It takes you to a clearing just before the trail that reconnects with the road behind my cabin. The moment we crossed the bridge, the woods went dead silent. You could hear yourself breathing. That, my friends, is one of the scariest things that can happen to you in the woods. Silence. And then, just like every night before, a blood-curdling scream ripped across the clearing. One of the new staff was about to take off before I grabbed them by their arm. "That's the screaming I've been hearing," I told my boss. "That's the screaming I hear every night." The ranger shushed everyone. The scream came again, louder this time. The ranger whistled in the direction of the noise. It whistled back. Suddenly, the screaming surrounded us, behind us, to the right, to the left. The group closed in, shoulder to shoulder, not daring to breathe. The ranger, ever severe and calm, said with a very, very light whisper, "We're turning around, taking the bridge back to the trail, and we're going the long way." So, hurriedly, we returned to the streetlight we met under without muttering a single word. Once we were in the light again, I could tell the ranger was shaken up. This is the same man who was charged by a cougar in the dark and brushed it off. "I need a cigarette." "You haven't smoked in like 2 years. I need a cigarette." I wasn't about to argue with the man holding a rifle, so I obliged. After a few drags, he muttered, "I don't want to scare anyone, but I know only one creature that can mimic human voices like that. It's a Wendigo," he said, not even thinking about it. I was kind of in shock. I walked that road all summer, and this thing was out there the entire time, screaming to lure me in? And I guess that makes sense, but not at the same time, you know? My first thought was, maybe it was some neighboring dog, maybe it was some other potential creature that could do this. A Wendigo seemed extreme. But he explained things a little bit deeper in the lore behind it, and I think we all kind of slowly came around. In the middle of the woods, mangled, more bizarrely, no other animals could touch anything to do this, we found a bear, absolutely destroyed on our way back to the cabin that night. No one said much of anything after that. My boss brought sage from her cabin and blessed everyone who asked for it. We were all shaken up, and after that I changed cabins, and luckily we were all leaving soon anyway. I didn't take any more walks after that, and I never came back again. I don't really know if I'm just, you know, stepping around superstition, if the ranger was freaking us out or what, but whatever we experienced that night was otherworldly. Nighttime Hiking Horror by Reborn. Before I get into it, I'd like to provide some backstory. My cousin is a Boy Scout, or, well, he was. He's an adult now. I never was, but he and his mom tried to get me into it for the longest time. When I was 17, my parents let me sign up, but it was more to work at the scout camp than actually be at the scout camp. As I worked there for the summer, I met 2 of my closest friends. So, a camp that's been around for a while and has rules not to go off property will never have those rules broken by generations of people. At our camp, people go to 9 places to hang out off property. I'm also a giant weenie and get scared very quickly. I had a friend who would tell scary stories and it would mess with me and keep me up at night a lot of the times. So far, I've worked there for 2 years and this happened in my 2nd year. The friend who scared me a lot with these stories has been dating this girl he has liked for the duration I've known him, so roughly 2 years. So my 2 friends and one of their little brothers were trying to find a good place for him to go camping off property because they were trying to, you know, get some things going on. And no making purple was allowed. The boys are blue and the girls are red. The place we all thought of and recommended was a place called the Love Shack, named after the broken water heater with the words "God is love" scratched into it. It's one of the lesser known hotspots, so we picked a Thursday night after dinner to go. Walking from camp to the Love Shack takes about 1.5 hours, so we put on some Weezer, joked, and had a good time walking there. We ate some snacks, drank water, and eventually, after some good old times, we got there. But there was a shepherd that walked around the camp property with his sheep, who was unfortunately staying in the shack at the time. It was no big deal, but we hung around to see if he would leave. We all got this weird feeling, so I pulled out my pocket knife. I had caught some of the Boy Scout habits at this point, and then this white light of lantern appeared out of nowhere, swinging back and forth. We watched for a bit as it turned, trying to see if someone was there. Around 8:30, it was a little tricky to see, it was kind of dark, the lantern started coming toward us. At this point, we were all absolutely spooked out by this phantom lantern because we could see nobody holding it. So we started returning to camp, running like absolute bats out of hell. After about 5 minutes of walking, I swear the lantern was following us back the whole time, it suddenly disappeared right out of thin air, like it was just snuffed out. A few days later, my friend, whom we were trying to get laid that night, told me that his little brother talked to him after we returned and had gone to bed. As we walked away, he said that this tall, long figure stood out from the crowds of sheep that waved at him. It looked like some sort of monster. I swear to God that we all saw the same thing, but I don't really know how to explain it other than that.
My name is Luke. No need to conceal identities here. Just want to share what happened. This weekend, on Saturday morning, 1-9-2021, I took a couple of my friends, Cody and Austin, out to my favorite campsite in the Mark Twain Forest, just outside the small town of Chadwick, Missouri. I helped them set up camp, and had a beer with them, and then left just before sundown. Sunday morning, I came back to bring them a case of Budweiser, and check in on them. They were gone, cleaned up and looked as if they were never there. Now, I was glad they cleaned up and did not leave a mess, but I found it quite odd since they told me they planned to rough it out there for a month or two to save up money and buy land. I decided to grab a beer and take a hike as I had time to kill. On this hike, I got about 45 yards west of the site and saw a shredded and mangled coyote covered in blood. I could tell there had been a struggle within about a 10-yard radius, and I know I have heard strange things out here plenty of times as I spend almost every weekend out here at that site. I know these woods well, day and night. I had also told Cody and Austin to keep their weapons close and their tent closed after they go to bed, because they might hear strange animals close by. I told them to keep food locked in the truck and all that. Anyway, after seeing this coyote, I got somewhat spooked just by the nature of its condition. I do not know any animal that kills that violently or kills for sport. I head back out of the woods and text them jokingly saying, "Didn't even get through the night, huh?" To which he replies, "Dude, if you had heard what we heard, it sounded like a coyote got ripped in half like 40 yards west of the site." After that, I told him exactly what I saw. Once I got back to town, I went to a buddy's house for his birthday and told everybody about what had happened. Most did not believe me at all, so I offered to load up anybody in my truck that does not believe me and to take them to see it for themselves. Of course, given this opportunity, nobody wanted to go. But another friend of mine, Eli, said, "Hell yeah, let's go." So I took Eli out there. By the time we got there, it was about 9 at night. Fairly dark out there. All we had were two flashlights, a machete, and a buck knife. We set on the short walk to where I had seen the mangled coyote, so he could see it with his own eyes. To our surprise, the coyote was gone, but the drying pools of blood and signs of a struggle were all still there. Around the time we were looking at all of this, all the sounds of the woods went silent. Even the strong, flowing creek about 30 feet away from us seemed to have suddenly stopped flowing. Dead silence completely surrounded us. I have camped here hundreds of times and have never experienced anything like this. The woods here have never gone silent. A little freaked out by the silence, we decided to head back to my Yukon. For some reason, it seemed like the walk back was twice as far. Mind you, I know this area like the back of my hand. I know that I did not get us lost. As we got closer to the truck, the sound started slowly coming back, like Mother Nature was turning a volume knob slowly. Then, for the first time ever, I felt fear in these woods. I have never been scared, even when hearing animals near my camp. Even when we saw a black bear a couple of years ago. But for some reason, almost pure terror set into both of us. So we ran the last bit back to the truck and hightailed it out of there. About 150 yards from the camp, my Yukon was slammed sideways off the trail. I was only doing about 15 to 20 miles per hour as these trails are narrow and it was dark. However, during the day, I have gone more than 40 miles per hour with no problem. My truck is all-wheel drive and has almost brand new all-terrain tires on it, and I have never felt it slip like that before, especially sideways. Right before we blasted sideways, there was a loud slam on my passenger side rear door, quarter panel area. After that, I floored it to get out of there as quickly as possible, and no sooner than we started hauling ass out of there did both Eli and myself instantly feel sick to our stomachs. Once we got about 30 miles from the woods and out of Chadwick, all the way to Sparta, we stopped at the gas station to look at the truck. There is now a massive swiping smudge and dent on the side of my Yukon that was never there before. Neither of us were remotely impaired, as I had only had one beer that day, and that was around noon. And Eli, I don't even think he drinks at all. I've never even seen him drink. I later took him home and we told a few other people what had happened. I was feeling sicker by the moment, and my head was pounding. I just could not speak complete sentences and could not keep balance very well, so I went to bed. The following day, which was Monday, I woke up and went to work, feeling sicker than I ever have before. My shop sent me home and I spent the last 2 days lying in bed, sweating so heavily I became dehydrated and have been pumping myself with water as much as I can. I am back at work now because I need the money. But my fever is still at 99.7 degrees Fahrenheit, and the sweating has not stopped for a minute. I am still having trouble eating, and I am still very spooked by what I encountered. I hope that somebody listening to this show has an idea of what I did encounter, though. Eli immediately said Skinwalker the moment we hit it, but I am open-minded, but I would be lying to say if I was sure of anything in specific. Let me know what you guys think of this. I am dying to hear an outside opinion on this. It's still extremely fresh on my mind. It has only been 3 days since this happened. Thanks for your time.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is in the middle of nowhere, eastern Montana. This happened about 6 p.m. We were playing hide-and-seek with all my best friends and their siblings. We hear this loud screaming coming from the woods. So as smart people would do, we start hiking to find out what was making the noise. On our way up, we noticed that there were these two deer that were standing completely still, staring at us. They were scarily still. We even make a bunch of noise to try to get their attention and try to scare them away, but they don't budge. They keep looking directly up the mountain. We do not really think much of it. We keep going, and whatever it is still screaming absolutely bloody murder. My friend's older sister is calling back. Then, suddenly, it just stops. We keep going for a bit, and we eventually find mountain lion tracks. We all sit down, and we all have this feeling that something is watching us. So we close our eyes, and I told everyone to point to where the feeling is coming from. We all point to the same exact spot. Above us. My friend and I stay at that spot while her two other siblings go up a little further. They come back down to us and they say they saw the mountain lion. We decided it would probably be a smart idea to go back to the property. We begin to hike down, and the deer are still there. We figure it's because they knew the mountain lion was there. The next day we come back to where we were after being out for the entire day. My friend, her older sister, and I are all very tired. It was about 10 p.m.-ish. The older sister goes outside to pee outside of the trailer. This was in June, so it was still bright. She sprints back inside the trailer and tells my friend and me that there is something out there that ran toward her. We believe that she was making jokes. At around 11 p.m., my friend goes to sleep. I stayed up because I was not very tired. Sometime around 1 a.m., she wakes up to go to the bathroom. She goes outside the trailer and dead sprints back inside and tells me there is 100% something out there, and that whatever it was fast and big and ran toward her. The older sister wakes up my friend, telling me all of this information, and comes to the back of the trailer where we are. There are four motion sensor lights on the corner of our trailer, pointed at us, and this is important. We all were scared crapless in the trailer, and I'm lying on my side looking at the window. My friend is there looking out the opposite window. The curtains are closed, but I notice a lighting change. I tell the others what I saw because I don't believe they were paying fully attention. And about 10 seconds later, my friend says the light on my side went off. So now we know something is 100% out there, walking around our trailer, and we are terrified. My friend is wild and decides to go back to sleep for whatever reason. So, her older sister and I work up enough courage to move out to the front of the trailer. It is now probably 2 a.m. if I had to guess. We notice that the lights out front are also getting triggered. We are clueless about what we are supposed to do, so we lock the doors. We didn't find out to the morning that the locks don't work. We grab the biggest knives we can. We sit on the bed that is in the main room. There is a window not even an inch above the bed, so keep this in mind. Whatever was out there kept circling around until it stopped by the window and started tapping on the trailer and hitting it hard enough to shake the trailer. The older sister and I are almost in tears from fear at this point. It is easily around 3 a.m. at this point, and we hear my friend's grandfather coughing outside. The older sister is overly concerned for him, but I force her to stay inside, because whatever is out there is not friendly. The coughing stops eventually. Next, we hear a very faint screaming from the woods, as whatever it is outside our trailer was still tapping and rubbing against it. So we knew it was not the mountain lion. Or is it? We eventually fall asleep at around 4:30 a.m., and a couple of hours later we investigate around the trailer and find deep imprints around our trailer that are way too big to be any animal that is out there. The same friend goes there quite often, and the last time they did, I did not tag along for obvious reasons. But something jumped on top of the trailer and was pacing back and forth and would run back and forth every so often, also sometimes stopping right over where they were laying.
My name is Luke, and I am now 20 years old. This story happened to me when I was 17. This experience still gives me chills to this day. In May 2017, I found myself going out a lot more on my mountain bike. I was getting bored of cruising around the streets, so I wanted to go out for a trail, woodland bike ride. I have never been to Lee Woods before then. Personally, I do not think I will ever go alone again. After some research into different areas, Lee Woods seemed to be the best bet. Living only a couple of miles away was a nice bike ride. On arriving, it looked very peaceful, and I was almost in a dreamlike state by my first look at the place. For a woodland area in England, let alone Bristol, it was amazing. On going into the woods, I remembered seeing different colors at the start of each trail, signifying difficulty for bikers and length for walkers. Don't take my word on that bit, I still have no clue what they mean, honestly. So I decided to go down the blue-colored trail to see what was down there. Finding it exciting, I decided to go down the harder trail, and now, here's where it starts to get weird. I began having this weird sort of vision looking around as if I'm being swallowed by the woodland. Everything felt like it was getting bigger and further away. I brushed it off, but it turns out I lost track of time. I got lost in the trail. Now, keep in mind, I am very observant and aware of my surroundings. I then came to a strange opening. I could go left in the rough direction of the way out or right deeper into the woods. Me being me, I decided to go deeper into the woods. I came to a weird little trail that just had dodgy written all over it, metaphorically speaking. I went against my gut feeling of turning back and went down there. I came to a point of which the trail continued, but it was getting very dangerous, the trail being too bumpy for me to even walk down. I then turned back, but for a few minutes before turning back, I do not know why, but I was just standing still, staring down the trail. I felt like I was being watched from all angles, even though it would be near impossible to have that many eyes surrounding me in that area. I got nervous and began walking back up the hill as I was too tired to ride at this point. Keep in mind, my bike tires are completely solid, with no punctures, slow punctures, or even anything wrong at all. I wish I still had the pictures of the bike. Upon getting back to the spot where I originally went to the trail, that weird loss of time thing began. It felt as if the whole path had stretched by a half a mile, as if the woodland was moving. I begin walking up the path feeling that same eerie sensation of being watched as I did beforehand. This time, it felt a bit more sinister. It felt as if something were about to happen. Bearing in mind, I had not seen a single person now since I went down that first trail. I will explain the scenery before continuing. It is a long path, a slightly steep hill to my left, a narrow river to my right, maybe 4 feet deep and 4 feet wide. Bushes are on the other side of the river, with the odd tree every now and then. Upon getting about a quarter of the way up the slowly inclining path, I hear a woman crying behind a tree up ahead. I start slowing down my walking pace to try and get a look behind the tree, but the whole time I am thinking to myself, why would someone jump across to cry behind a tree? So I edge closer to the river to look behind to see if the person is okay. Also because many people go to Lee Woods to commit suicide, so I was hoping that maybe I could help this person. But you guessed it, there is no one there and the crying stopped. A bit weirded out, I just slowly turned away and started walking again, a bit quicker as I was unnerved. I have had a few paranormal experiences before this, but not in a place like this, never in the woods. Usually it was in a house or some sort of building, so this was new to me. I had this sudden shiver as I was walking, maybe a minute or so later, only a couple of meters away where I heard the crying, it started again. but this time it was opposite of me across the river. I did not bother looking. I started just going again in a bit of a jog. As I got faster, I heard the bushes rustling, as if there was something following me. Upon hearing this, I sped up and the crying became more and more hysterical. Bear in mind, my bike was fine before this moment in time. I have thought to myself, F this, I am gone. I try to hop on my bike with the adrenaline that was rushing through me, and I come to an almost sudden stop. My back tire on my bike had become completely flat out of nowhere, so I had no other choice but to sprint with my bike and pray for the best, and that I do not trip or end up having to throw it and run faster. With the crying person still close to me and keeping up, I am running faster and faster, praying I just get off this path that I was on. I had that feeling of wanting to cry because I could not actually do anything to help the situation or get out of it any faster. And after what felt like an hour, but was probably only 5 or 10 minutes, I could see the car park. The crying had stopped following me and getting closer, and started moving back down to where I first heard it. I sprinted out into the car park. I must have been as white as a sheet of paper and hysterical with my breathing and wheezing, as multiple people in the car park turned to look at me like I was crazy. I saw the exit sign out of the car park and ran towards it, and, whilst doing so, I noticed my bike to be moving a lot smoother. I could not believe that my bike tire had suddenly regained all of its air. It was solid again, as it was before the unnerving crying person shenanigans. I jumped on my bike and got away from Lee Woods as fast as I could, and have never gone back, as every person I tell this story becomes more reluctant to go there with me. The thing that makes this story so scary to me is I have Irish heritage. In Irish folklore, there is a demon that we call the Banshee. She is seen in woodlands next to rivers and lakes washing blood off clothes. It is said that if you see her washing blood off clothes, the person who owns those clothes will die. Alternatively, if you hear her crying, it means death. I cannot remember the meanings exactly of the deaths, but it means either you or a loved one will die. Since 2017, I have lost my auntie, two of my best friends, and a dog. Lee Woods is no joke. There are many stories that have come out of Lee Woods, too. You can read online about them. Search up Lee Woods, L-E-I-G-H. It is rated 87th most haunted place in the UK, according to Higgypop. It is a popular spot in Bristol for suicides, or it was at least. Even the ghost of Isambard Kingdom Brunel has been spotted there, looking over the suspension bridge, which he designed. I may submit some more stories soon, as I have a couple of more experiences I have had over the years.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who pieced together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thanks for listening to these creepy and downright strange camping and hiking horror stories that'll freak you out tonight. If you enjoyed these stories, please be sure to slap that like button as it helps me out a ton. The more likes this episode gets, the more YouTube promotes it in the algorithm, and that helps the swamp grow its ever-expanding waters. If you're new to the swamp, what are you waiting for? Why not join us? Be sure to subscribe and turn on notifications so you don't miss a new episode as I upload them multiple times a week in all things natural and supernatural. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future episode, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. Or if you're on Reddit, you can send it in at r/thedarkswamp and send it in over there. If you're on the go, but don't have YouTube Premium, but still want to download and listen to your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories no matter where you are, you can download them absolutely free at Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, and literally everywhere else you find your favorite podcast online. It's absolutely free and always will be. I'd love to know in the comments down below what story was your favorite. If you made it all the way to the end, tonight's code word is Glowing Skull. Be sure to use Glowing Skull in a comment down below. The funniest one will be pinned at the top. Thank you guys so much for supporting The Swamp the way you do. I'll see you over on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and all those other fun social medias. And I'll see you soon with another creepy episode.